Almighty God, on this second Sunday of Advent, open our hearts to receive your Spirit. Fill us with a sense of hope and joy and expectation that the Christ child might be born in us yet again. This I pray in his name, Jesus. Amen. So, good morning. Some of you have heard the old joke about the man who gets an opportunity to ask God any question he wants, and so he begins with, "God, can you really hear everybody's prayers at the same time?" "I can," God says. "Well, speaking of time," the man says, what's a million years to you?" And God says, "Well, it's about a minute to you." So the man presses the point a little bit. He says, so God, what's a million bucks to you?" God says, "About a penny to you." "Well, then," the man says, "can I have a penny?" And God is silent and then lovingly says, "Sure, in a minute." So glad that went over. I didn't even try it at 8 because I thought, but now I'll try it later in the day. Well, despite, I don't know if you pay attention to sermon titles. We spend a lot of time with those, and I actually have changed the title between the time this bulletin was printed and now. The title of the sermon is About Time, because actually today's two lessons that we just heard read are about time. St. Peter, writing toward the end of his own life to Christians who are increasingly facing persecution, tells his readers, "With the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." Now, in the passage from Thessalonians that we read a few weeks back, I shared that many Christians believe that they were actually living in the end times, that Jesus would return to rescue them any day. And Peter thought that might be the case for him as well, but then knowing that God's time is not our time, that to God a day is like 1,000 years, he urges those Christians not to wait to put things right. "While you're waiting for these things," he writes, we heard Dick read this just a moment ago, "strive to be found by him at peace, without spot or blemish." And the gospel lesson's about time also. Jesus hasn't quite come on the scene, but John knows that he's just around the corner, and he says to those who are listening, "Now is the time to prepare." Not wait until you have it all together. Not wait until Jesus steps out in full view. Not wait until the last minute. He says, "Prepare." Not past tense, not future, but present, now. Point A to B goes like this: prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, it's an image that John's crowd would have understood. Ancient Palestine was, as it is today, rugged territory. There were rocks and hills and twists and turns, but the best way to travel, the quickest way between towns, was to forge straight paths. Earlier this year, there was an interesting article in the Washington Post on a popular sport called pedestrianism. Now, unlike our own times where foot races tend to be quick dashes straight for yards or meters, people would gather in arenas in the late 70s and 80s and watch as competitors walked in circles for up to 140 hours. Aside from the occasional break, they would push themselves to the point of collapse. And oddly enough, back in those late 1800s, the crowds loved it. Competitive pedestrians were the country's first celebrity athletes. They were highly paid. Some of them commanded cash awards in excess of $15,000. That's about $350,000 in our day. Their photos appeared on little trading cards, and some received lucrative endorsement offers, touting products, wearing a company logo on their jerseys as they walked real fast. But by the end of the 1800s, pedestrianism was dead. It actually was brought down, if you can believe it, by scandal, race fixing and doping. I don't know what you have to do to dope to walk at a race, but now, you and I might laugh at competitive pedestrianism, but we have to admit that we, you and I, we sometimes find ourselves walking in circles. We keep eating the same kind of junk food and wonder why is it hard to lose weight or get healthy. Or we continue to move in the same social circles or pour out hours on social media and then are curious why we don't actually meet any new people. We keep the same routine in work or play or relationships and we begin to ask ourselves, why am I so bored? We keep picking on family members in exactly the same way and then we're surprised by a blow up or a fight. We insult or ignore the ones closest to us and then wonder why we feel tension or angst whenever we're around them. And we sin and we fall and we get overwhelmed with a sense of guilt and failure. And we ponder, why do I keep returning to the poisoned well? It's like we're competitive pedestrians, moving in circles. In fact, one of the definitions of the word pedestrian is lacking distinction, ordinary. Maybe it's about time to break out of our endless loops and do something truly distinctive, extraordinary. Walk the straight path to God. So let's go back to Mark's gospel for a minute. So John the Baptist, he's fulfilling the ancient prophecy of Isaiah that before Jesus there would come a preparer, one who would make a straight path for others to receive the Messiah. Point A to point JC, if you will. And John does this by appearing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance. Now remember, John's baptism is not Christian baptism. Jesus inaugurates this right before his ascension. No, John's baptism challenges people to break out of their destructive, repetitive cycles of sinfulness by changing their minds and walking in a new direction altogether. That is, in fact, the literal translation of the word repentance from the Greek word metanoia, transformation. John says, break out of the circle and walk straight to Jesus. Now, unfortunately, many of us associate that word repentance with simply being sorry. And John wasn't asking people just to be sorry. It's one thing to be sorry. It's quite another to change, to turn away from the things that cause one to feel guilt in the first place. And you know, people were hungry for change. And they flocked to see John. They desperately wanted to break out of their self-destructive cycles and move in a new direction. So as the gospel lesson says today, people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to John and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. The people of Judea had a choice, keep moving in the same old circles or find a straight path. And you know what? We can make the same choice today. We step into this, the second Sunday of Advent. The lessons are about time. Time is a gift from God that cannot be recaptured. It can't be reclaimed. The question that Advent puts before us is, what will we do with the time God has given us? Although our lives at times can feel like endless circles, we can replace our pedestrianism with a walk in Jesus' direction. And along that path, Jesus then steers us and strengthens us. What might that look like? First, let me suggest we might need to take a look at our lives from the stands. Step off the track. And sit and ask, am I running a straight line toward Jesus? Or have I gotten myself in some pickle, some sinful or sick pattern, and I'm just find myself running in the same old circles again and again? If so, then it is time to repent from your personal sin. And I don't know what that is. I know what mine is. I don't know what yours is. My hunch is you do. I don't want to give you the impression that I'm You should never get in the car with me, or if you see me coming down the road, you should get off to the side. I have family members who may disagree. But a few years back, I was just leaving lunch at one of our wonderful Tex-Mex establishments. And on the way back to the office, I took a wrong turn, and I headed south on a northbound one-way street. I didn't realize it until I saw nothing but headlights. Now, I could have blamed it on the trans fats that were no doubt clogging my brain that afternoon. But if you know our city, if I had not quickly figured it out, I might have ended up looking like my side dish of refried beans. So I turned, I whipped into a parking lot, took a few deep breaths, and then I turned my car around and I started heading in an opposite, safe, right direction. John the Baptist's call to repent is there for a reason. It's to get you to ask, is there any area of my life where I'm headed the wrong way? And Jesus put up some wrong way signs as well. They're sprinkled among his teachings and his miracles and his admonitions. And Jesus said a lot of lovely things, but we need to remember the first word we have recorded of Jesus' public ministry. The very first word was simple. It was repent. It was not love. It was not follow. It was not include. It was repent. It was repent because Jesus knew that if you didn't start by getting the yuck out of your life, you would never get that love, follow, and include business right. So part of the straight path work is dealing with what's wrong in my personal life. But a second part is dealing with what may be wrong in my relationship with other people. Have you gotten yourself into a pattern of estrangement or disrespect or anger or neglect with others in your life? Have you sidelined those closest to you because it's too hard to work on it? I'm not suggesting for one minute relationships are easy. They are hard. Are you married? It's hard. Not mine, of course, but do you have parents? It's hard. Do you have kids? Gosh, it's hard. You have siblings, friends. Being in relationship with anyone in a meaningful way is H-A-R-D, hard. But it's what you and I were created for. And it may be about time to straighten out some paths with the ones you love. Sometimes we don't want to work on those relationships because we think, you know, there's going to be time to tackle what's wrinkled, what should be smooth between you and the ones you love. The writer, Rob Parsons, gets us to rethink that. He says, it's a long quote, but stick with me. You can run several agenda in your life, but you can't run them all at 100% without someone paying the price. We have so many excuses. The main one is that we convince ourselves that a slower day is coming. We say to ourselves, when the house is decorated, when I get my promotion, when I pass those exams, then I'll have more time. Every time we have to say, not now, darling, to someone we love, we tell ourselves it's okay because a slower day is getting nearer. And then he says, we need to realize here and now that the slower day is an illusion. It never comes. Whatever our situation, we all have the potential to fill up our time. And that's why we need to make time for the things that we believe are important, and we need to make it now, he says. Need to make it now, Parsons writes. So maybe it's about time to forgive. Maybe it's about time to get over or to reach out, to apologize. To love. Not later. Not another turn in the circle. But now. Today. And thirdly, lastly, Now may be the time to come to terms with your relationship with Jesus Christ. You and I are Christians. We're baptized. Some of us are confirmed. We come to communion. We worship together. We say our prayers. And yet sometimes all of it is just walking in circles. We treat our spiritual journey as a kind of turned up horseshoe, and we cross our fingers and we throw some salt over our shoulder, hoping that if I just do the right things, I might make that proverbial spiritual touchdown. And it doesn't work that way. That puts the entire burden of winning God's favor on us. Listen to what Peter writes, the lesson that Dick read a moment ago. The Lord is patient with you. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting any to perish. No one, but all to come to repentance. You see, the Lord's on your side. He's in the stands rooting for you. But it's not finally about crossing your finish line, but His. It's not about getting it all right. It's about a right relationship with Him. All of this call to repentance has a goal, not to beat you up or to weigh you down, but to get out of the way all the stuff that keeps you from knowing the fullness of God's grace and mercy. So John prepares the way for the one who comes to you, not with a pointing finger, but with open and loving arms. But if you keep averting your eyes and your heart, if you keep turning a corner every time you see Him coming, you'll just end up running in circles. When better yet, far better yet, don't you think, to just run straight to Him. One of the reasons I love this time of year is that those movie channels, AMC and TCM and others, run some of those great old biblical epic films. I think I've shared with you before, one of my favorites is Ben-Hur, starring Charlton Heston. It's about 4 hours long. I bet it's running this afternoon. You can sit down for lunch, eat lunch, take a nap, wake up, it's still going on. If you know the movie, you also know that it ends with this chariot race. Chariots going around and around in an arena. And I'm told that the chariot race actually took weeks to shoot. And in fact, it was so authentic that during the filming, one stuntman actually fell out of his chariot, was badly hurt. The scene actually remained in the movie. If you watch it closely, you can see it. And after that, and after weeks of practicing, Charlton Heston is said to have come up to the director and said, "I've been practicing for weeks. I know what the script says, but I just don't think I'm going to be able to win the race." At which point the director smiled and said, "Mr. Heston, just get in the chariot and go, and I'll make sure it looks like you won the race." Maybe today you can let John the Baptist give your heart a little tug. And you can look at your life. And you can look at your relationships. And most especially, your relationship with Jesus. And then for some of us, we need to repent. We need to turn from anything or anyone that keeps us turning in circles. And instead, run straight from point A to point JC. Just give yourself to Him. He'll make sure you win. Maybe you do that for the first time. Maybe the 100th. Either way, maybe it's about time. Amen.